24. From the files of the Victoria Police Department, for the first time, come these true stories of unceasing war against crime, of day and night vigilance that protects our life and our property, and of the nerve center that is the Police Information Bureau, D-24.
D-24. D-24. Calling car 17. Car 17. Proceed to the corner of Union Road and Whitehorse Road, Baldwin. Investigate armed robbery. That is all.
And here to introduce the first program in this authentic new series is Mr. Alexander M. Duncan, CMG, Chief Commissioner of Police for the State of Victoria. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Duncan.
Ladies and gentlemen, in a few moments you will hear the first of a series of factual broadcasts. These programs have been designed to give you an idea of the work of your police force and to invite your cooperation in assisting us in our never-ending war against crime. Every police officer is a servant of the public, carrying out a multitude of duties that are essential to the order and life of the community. We are proud of our record. It compares favorably with any other police force in the world. Our men and women are highly trained, diligent, and not lacking in courage. The area we cover is a vast one. 2.25 million people look to us to provide a 24-hour-a-day guardianship, and the resources we have marshaled to that end are formidable. But if our task of protecting life and property is to be carried out effectively, we must have your cooperation. It is my sincere hope that these dramatic broadcasts will bring about a statewide recognition of the fine work of the police force it is my privilege to head, a realization that your police force needs and deserves your help. The events you will be told about actually happened here in your own state. In them you will find all the action, the excitement, the human interest that is the stock and trade of the writers of fiction. But they are all the more enthralling because they are true. That they will interest you, I am sure, and I am even more certain that they will convince you, if that is necessary, that your police force, the Victorian police force, is something of which you will be proud. We ask your cooperation. We want to proceed and progress in service to the public. We ask for it, but we are really entitled to demand it.
Thank you, Mr. Duncan. And now, D-24. The story we're about to tell you is true. We're presenting the case exactly as it happened. But because most of the people concerned are still living, all names have been changed. It's the case of a boy, a gun, and a murder. The constable on duty at the country police station of Warrigal could hardly have realized what a drama was about to unfold. As early one morning in February 1945, a farmer entered the police station.
Good morning, sir. What can we do for you?
Good morning, Constable. I want to report the theft of a horse.
A horse? Your name, sir?
Jenkinson.
Right, Mr. Jenkinson. If you'll give me some particulars.
Well, about a fortnight ago, a young fellow came to my place looking for work, you see. Well, he seemed all right, so I hired him. He was a good worker, too. Well, last Friday, I had to make a trip to Melbourne. When I came back last night, the horse was gone. So was the youngster.
And you think he took the horse?
Well, I don't know who else could have.
All right. Well, first, we'll get a description of the horse.
A saddle horse, bay. A bit long in the tooth. That's as good as I can describe him.
And the young man? How old would you say he was?
About 18, I suppose. kind of sandy-colored hair, about my height, and his name's Johnson.
Johnson.
I think he's a Melbourne boy. I wouldn't be positive, but I gathered as much.
Right, Mr. Jenkinson. I'll see that police headquarters in Melbourne gets the information.
Oh, and one other thing. My .22 rifle. It's missing as well.
Yes, it began as simply as that. A missing horse and a missing .22 caliber rifle. The constable at Warrigal forwarded his report to police headquarters in Melbourne, while the youth who'd taken the gun sought out a companion.
Hi, Bill! Bill! You in there? Bill!
Who is it?
It's me, Blue.
Wait till you see what I got.
Shh, don't wake Mum, whatever you do. Climb in.
Okay. Here, hold this.
Ooh, .22, where'd you get it?
I'll tell you in a second. Relax, will you?
Where you been the last few weeks?
On a farm in the country. That's where I got the rifle.
You got any bullets for it?
Think I'd take a gun and not the bullets. I took a horse, too.
You did?
Sure, to make a getaway. I left him on the side of the road as soon as I hitched a ride to the city. You got a hacksaw anywhere?
Well, there's one in the shed, I think. What do you want a hacksaw for?
For the rifle, of course. We'll saw off the barrel and the stock a bit, and we'll have a gun that's a good handy size.
Oh, gee, Roy.
What's the matter? You're going to do what we said, aren't you? I told you there's nothing to it. If we got a gun, well, we got one.
Sure, it's easy.
Of course it's easy. Put a gun in someone's face and they're scared silly. They'll hand over everything they've got. But you got to be tough. Remember that, Bill. You got to be tough.
Being tough helps, as the two youths proved to their own satisfaction a few evenings later. When Mr. Robert Clinton alighted from a tram at the White Horse Road terminus Balwyn and walked north along darkened Union Road.
Just a minute, mister.
Eh?
Put up your hands. This is a stick-up.
Now, look here.
You know what's poking you in the ribs?
A gun.
That's right. Now hand over your wallet.
Here you are.
Flash your torch out of here, Bill. £4. Got any more money on you?
There's some change in my trouser pocket.
Let's have it.
He's got a wristwatch.
Hand it over, mister.
But...
You heard him. Hand it over.
All right. Look, you've taken everything. Put that gun away.
Not so fast. Bill, that sports coat he's wearing looks about your size. You could use one, couldn't you?
Yeah, I'll say. Take it off.
You'll be sorry for this.
Come on, off with it.
Be careful with that gun. You can have the coat. There.
Thanks. Now just stay where you are for the next 5 minutes. Let's go, Bill.
Right, come on.
Well, I'm dashed. Stay where I am. Let's see about that. There's a phone box in the corner. Let me see. Police. The front of the book, I think. Police Department. Here we are. Police City. F-O-2-4-4. F-O-2-4-4.
Police headquarters.
I want D-24.
Yes, sir. One moment. D-24.
Hello. Hello, Clinton's my name. I've just been robbed at the point of a gun by two youths.
Where are you phoning from?
The phone box at the corner of White Horse and Union Roads, Baldwin.
Right, Mr. Clinton. Will you hold the line a moment, please?
Now the issue is squarely joined. A crime has been committed, and the victim has reported to D24, the communications section, nerve center of the Victoria Police Department. The machinery of law enforcement immediately moves into top gear.
D24 calling car 17. Come in, 17.
Car 17 here. Over.
Proceed to the corner of Whitehorse Road and Union Road, Baldwin. Contact Mr. Clinton at phone box. He's just been robbed. I'll supply details as you go.
Whitehorse and Union Road. I got it.
Hello, Mr. Clinton. Are you still there?
Yes.
You say you were robbed by two youths. Can you tell me what they looked like?
Well, it was rather dark, but they flashed a torch once or twice. I think I'd recognize them again.
How old would you say they were?
Oh, quite young. Boys in their teens, about 18 or 19. A bit younger, perhaps. One was smaller than the other. He was the one who was going to wear my coat.
They took your coat, did they? What sort of coat?
A brown check sports coat. Had my initials sewn in the inside. REC, Robert E. Clinton.
What else did they get, Mr. Clinton?
A wristwatch and about £4 odd in money.
Did you notice how these youths were dressed?
Rather plain, coat and trousers. They were grey, I think. It was difficult to tell, but I don't think either had a necktie. And it was the taller one who had the gun.
Right, Mr. Clinton. Thank you. A wireless patrol car will be there in a few moments.
Thank you very much.
D24 calling 17. Come in, 17.
Car 17 here. Over.
Here are the details on that holdup. Two offenders, both boys in their teens. Plainly dressed, coat and trousers, possibly grey. No necktie. The taller one is armed. They'll have in their possession a brown check sports coat, initials inside R for Robert, E for Edward, C for Charles. Also a wristwatch and money. Acknowledge when convenient. That is all.
Union Road's just ahead.
Well, there's the phone box. That'll be our man. The one without the coat. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Police here. Hop in the car.
Oh, thank you.
We've been given a description of the youths who robbed you, Mr. Clinton. Anything you'd like to add to what you told headquarters over the telephone?
No, I don't think so. As I said, it's dark down Union Road.
And what about that gun, Mr. Clinton?
Oh, the taller one had it. He kept prodding me in the ribs with it.
Pistol, wasn't it?
No, it was too big for a pistol. It was a strange-looking gun.
Sawn-off shotgun, perhaps?
The barrel was fairly small. Would a shotgun have such a small barrel?
A sawn-off pea rifle.
I beg your pardon?
What Constable Boyd means is that they probably used a .22 caliber rifle cut down with a hacksaw.
A cut down .22 caliber rifle. Constable Boyd had hit upon the first important clue, and police headquarters knew that such a rifle had recently been stolen. The Warrego farmer was contacted for further information about the youth who'd stolen his rifle. The following night, another holdup occurred in Baldwin. The weapon used was apparently the same. The assailants were apparently the same. Patrol cars scoured the area, but the birds had flown. They'd switched their activities to Middle Brighton.
Put up your hands.
What?
No noise. Hand over your wallet.
Oh, you can go to
blazes, both of you.
Hand it over. This gun's loaded.
Oh, kids, you're nothing but a couple of kids.
Shut your mouth. Get his wallet, Bill.
Right. Oh, no, you don't. Look here.
That'll teach him. Where's his wallet?
Roy. Roy, look at you done.
Shut up.
You killed him. That's what you done. You killed him.
Yes, the two young men had gone a step beyond robbery. They had crossed the threshold of murder. And now, D-24. The story we're about to tell you is true. We're presenting the case exactly as it happened. But because most of the people concerned are still living, all names have been changed. It's the case of a boy, a gun, and a murder. A few minutes after the fatal shooting in Middle Brighton, a woman telephoned police headquarters to report that she'd heard a shot and a man scream nearby. D-24 dispatched a patrol car to the address immediately.
Who's there? Who is it?
Police here.
Oh, thank heaven you've come. I've been terribly nervous since I heard that shot. You are from the police.
Senior Constable Norman, and this is Constable Crowley.
Oh, hope you haven't come for nothing. I'm certain there was a shot, and a scream, too. At least I think so.
Well, you did the right thing in telephoning.
It's better not to take chances, isn't it?
That's right. Now, from which direction did you hear the shot?
Just down there. Would you like me to show you?
If you don't mind.
Just leave the door on the latch. There's a little lane down here, and I thought possibly... Oh, it'll feel silly if it was a car or a cat or something.
Oh, don't worry. If they're all like you and reported anything suspicious, our work would be a lot easier.
That's right.
Here we are. This is the lane.
Flash your torch down it, Crowley. We'll see if there is anything.
Right. No, nothing there. Maybe on the footpath. That's it.
Look here. You'd better go back inside.
No. No, I'm all right. Is he?
I'm afraid he is. Looks as if he put up quite a struggle. Pockets are turned inside out.
I say, there's nothing more you can do, and it's cold out here. Suppose you go inside now. We'll take care of everything.
A man murdered practically at my front gate.
Here, let me take your arm. You're not too steady.
Thank you.
Norman, look what I found here.
What is it?
Cartridge case. It's from a .22 caliber rifle. What do you know about that?
I'd say it was the pair they're looking for over in Baldwin. You see this good lady inside. I'll contact D-24.
Right.
Car 3 calling D-24. 3 calling
D-24. Yes, 3.
At the Middle Brighton address. It was a murder, all right. A man's been robbed and murdered. And we found near the body a .22 cartridge case.
A .22? Right, stand by for further instructions.
The officer in the control room at D-24 switches off his microphone, reaches across and quickly dials a number. In another part of the building, the phone rings.
Guthrie here.
Inspector, there's been a fatal shooting and robbery in Middle Brighton. Car 3 is there now. and they've found a .22 cartridge case near the body.
The pair from Baldwin.
Looks that way, Inspector.
And those cars on special patrol in the Baldwin area, switch them immediately to Brighton.
Yes, sir.
When you've done that, check to see if we've had a report from the Warrigal police station. They were going to make further inquiries from the chap who had the .22 rifle stolen. I'll pick up that and the Brighton address on my way out. I'm taking over.
And while D-24 sends out its call, switching the cars on special patrol in the Baldwin area over to Middle Brighton, Inspector Guthrie organizes the photographers and fingerprint experts. At the Information Bureau, another officer checks the files for the latest report from Warrigal.
There's your report, Inspector.
Thanks. Excellent description of Johnson. I'd say it was a certainty he's the taller one of the two fellows we're looking for. You'd better put out this description to all cars.
Yes, sir.
Well, what's this? Jenkinson believes that he remembers Johnson speaking once or twice of a friend who lives south of the Yarra.
Odd way to put it.
Yes, isn't it? If you got a friend living in Toorak or Malvern, you'd say he lived there, not south of the Yarra.
Unless Jenkinson heard it wrongly.
Yes. But it could mean that Johnson comes from the north side of the Yarra, or perhaps all his other friends, bar this one, come from the north side. I'll have to think that one over. It just could be the lead we're after.
Minutes later, as the patrol cars and Inspector Guthrie link up at Middle Brighton, the two youths hold up another victim, two stations away at Hampton, taking from him a necktie, a watch, and a small sum of money. The man promptly reports to D-24, and another call goes out to the special patrol.
D-24, calling Inspector Guthrie and the special patrol in Middle Brighton. Come in, Inspector.
Guthrie here. Go ahead, D-24.
A man near Hampton Station has just reported being robbed by two youths. One of them carried a knife, the other a gun, which might have been a sawn-off .22 caliber rifle. That is all.
Well, what do you say, Inspector? Will we fan out around the Hampton Station?
More than likely, the birds will have flown. I think it's time we were a jump ahead of them.
Yes, sir, but how?
Before too long, that pair will head for home.
Yes, I'm inclined to agree.
The trouble is, Inspector, we don't know where they live.
I wouldn't say that exactly.
What do you mean, sir?
Well, we're reasonably certain that one of the two is the young fellow who was working in Warrigal as Blue Johnson. Johnson is supposed to have mentioned that he had a friend living south of the Yarra. At least, that's the way we got it.
It's a mighty big place.
That's a lot of territory south of the Yarra, Inspector.
Yes, well, what is it?
What I think Johnson must have said is that he had a friend living in South Yarra. There's a big family of Johnsons in South Yarra.
Yes, but Johnson mightn't be the chap's real name.
Well, even if it isn't, someone knowing South Yarra well might take the name Johnson. And I'm betting that pair from South Yarra or thereabouts.
Yes, I think you're right, sir.
Well, what's our best chance then, sir? Intercept them on the way?
That's it. I'll contact D-24. We'll have a car placed at every strategic intersection south to north. Norman, you and Crowley drive to Hampton Station and see if we can get any leads.
Yes, sir.
Boyd.
Yes, sir.
Let's follow our theory to its logical conclusion. You and Simmons go to the South Yarra station and keep a lookout there.
A hurried dash through the southern suburbs. One by one, the cars take up position. Report to D-24. The trap is set. Now the officers begin a tense vigil. Eyes watching every motor car, every tram, every bus. And at the South Yarra station.
You've got to hand it to Inspector Guthrie. If those two are traveling this way by car, tram, or bus, we ought to nab them.
Should do. And if they're coming by train...
Jim. Huh? Look. Coming out of the station.
Two young chaps.
Think they're the ones?
I don't know. They answered the description.
Car 17, calling D-24. 17, calling
D-24.
D-24. Two youths emerging from South Yarra Station. Might be the ones. They're carrying a satchel. We're going after them. Just a minute, lads.
Cops! Shut up, Bill. What do you want?
We'd like to see what you're carrying in that satchel.
Why?
We're looking for two young fellows who shot and killed a man in Middle Brighton earlier tonight. Open your satchel.
Sure. Sure, I'll open it for you. This is what's inside. Copper,
I got it. Look out, you... Oh, no, you don't. Here, get the other one. Let go. I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
Not tonight, son. Drop it.
No.
Drop it, I said.
My wrist.
Drop it.
That's better. A sawn-off 22 caliber rifle, eh? What else is in that satchel?
I ain't saying a word.
Hey, you got the gun away from him, Jim. Good work.
You got the other one?
Yes. Nice type. He pulled a knife on me.
Oh, I didn't pull it. Fell out of me pocket.
Get in the car, boys.
Keep your mouth shut, Bill.
Don't think that's going to help. A necktie, two watches, and some notes in that satchel. They'll do the talking for you. You're both under arrest.
The two youths were identified by the men whom they'd robbed. Ballistics experts proved that the gun taken from Johnson was the one which had fired the fatal shot. It was the same gun stolen from the farmer in Warrigal. Johnson was found guilty of murder. His companion guilty of robbery under arms. Both received long sentences. Another crime had been cleared up. To the police, it was all in the day's work. To you and me, it meant freedom from what threatened to be a long series of armed and tragic holdups. Full marks must be given for the police work in this case, especially to the officer who, unarmed, overpowered Johnson, knowing full well that the gun in the young desperado's hand had already killed once that night. It must be pointed out, however, that without the cooperation of the public, the police would have been powerless. The farmer who reported the loss of his rifle, the woman who heard the shot, the robbery victims themselves. Had any of these persons failed to act promptly, Johnson and his companion might still be at large today, menacing your life and your property. Although the story you've just heard is factual, and is produced with the full cooperation of the Victoria Police Department, in the interests of the families and relatives of the persons concerned, names, place names, and dates have been altered. And now this is Roland Strong saying goodbye until the same time next week, when we'll bring you another authentic program in this series, D-24, which is produced in the studios of Hector Crawford Productions by Dorothy Crawford.